You're listening to a repeat broadcast of Soundcheck. You're listening to Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Even if you don't listen to country music, chances are you've heard of the Dixie Chicks. Despite having sold more albums than any other female group in music history, in the past few years, it's not their music people have been talking about, it's their politics. Time magazine music critic Josh Tieringel wrote his cover story about the Dixie Chicks, and in it he writes, "Three Texas women have the biggest balls in American music." He also writes that their new album, Taking the Long Way, may be the best adult pop album of the year. He's speaking with us today from L.A. Josh, welcome to Soundcheck.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
So why a Time magazine cover story for the Dixie Chicks?
Well, to tell you the truth, you know, a lot of people who don't listen to country music like the Dixie Chicks as a concept. You know, they think, oh, this is great. These are three outspoken young women, and they play traditional music. But they didn't actually know that this is the biggest selling female act of all time. Bigger than the Supremes, bigger than Destiny's Child, bigger than anybody. And so the fact that they had this incident, which really alienated them from their audience, when you alienate that audience, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so that intrigued us as more than just a music story. I mean, it's a culture story. It's the way people really are reacting to this group who once played a very large role in their lives, and now no one knows what kind of role they're going to play.
Well, so for folks who aren't necessarily familiar with chapter and verse of the incident that you refer to.
Sure. They were touring in London, in Europe, where not very many country acts actually do tour. And this was about 10 days before the invasion of Iraq, and Natalie Maines, who is the lead singer of the Dixie Chicks, stood up on stage, and before a song called Traveling Soldier, which is actually an apolitical ballad about a GI in Vietnam, she sensed that she was speaking to a very anti-war audience, and the Dixie Chicks themselves were very anti-war, and she said 15 words, basically saying that she's ashamed that the President of the United States is from Texas, where they're also from. And so it was reported in The Guardian in London, and then rapidly picked up by a bunch of blogs and websites in the U.S., and it resulted in a number of death threats, bans pretty much throughout country radio, and this group that had, you know, a massive single in Traveling Soldier and a massive album just watched their sales disappear overnight.
Yeah, and so country music radio here in the States really dried up for them in a big way. I mean, look, Josh, these are not the only people who have come out against the war who make their livings in public. I mean, many musicians have done this and have not stirred up the same hornet's nest of death threats and vituperation and being cut off from their audience. What made the Dixie Chicks such a target?
Well, it's a rich tapestry, in fact. There are a number of things that go into it. One, there were early adapters to the trend. You know, people... Now George Bush is kind of the official pinata of the music industry. Back then, you know, there were only a very few people sort of speaking out. So that's one thing. They were early. Two, I think the word ashamed and the location of the speech, of what she said, the fact that she was ashamed and the fact that she was saying it to a European audience, for country music fans, it was really offensive, not just politically, but to their genre affiliation. They really felt wounded that this was a betrayal in some ways. Country music, while a major industry, is still very much a small town as far as community goes. People are very guarded about who is in country and who isn't. It's the only genre of music where people actually talk about, well, is this country or is it not? No one says, is this rap or not? You kind of know. And even if someone is experimenting, it doesn't seem to matter very much. But within country, because it is small, because they're kind of used to being derided, it matters. And then, you know, the third thing I think is that they are women. And for women to speak out in that way is a little different. You know, we're used to men taking on men and sort of it's a very alpha kind of contest when Bruce Springsteen speaks out against the president. But for three, you know, chicks, as they call themselves, to take on that kind of stance is a big deal.
Yeah. We're speaking with Josh Tieringel. He wrote the cover story on Time magazine on the Dixie Chicks. So Natalie Maines makes this comment in London, 2003, and then perhaps because of this confluence of different things that you've just described, feels herself compelled to apologize later, and now seems to be rescinding that apology and you know, starting all over again.
Yeah, I mean, I think what she said to me was that she felt, given the timing of it particularly, that she didn't want to be misread. It's not that she disrespected the office of the presidency. It's not that she wanted to sort of call into question their affiliation or their dedication to the United States. So given that there were death threats, that there was a sort of avalanche of reaction towards them, at the time she did apologize to the president for disrespecting the office. And now she just feels that that was silly, and that she wouldn't do that, and she sort of rescinds it in the sense that she doesn't feel that he's owed any respect whatsoever, any respect above and beyond what anyone else should be given. So, you know, what's interesting is that a lot of people I've spoken to on either side of the political aisle both say, well, I don't agree with it, and I think it was unnecessary, and but I do admire her for sticking to her guns, which, you know, it's one way to go.
All right. Well, the new album is called Taking the Long Way, but the song called Not Ready to Make Nice might be the real kind of, I mean, this might be the most telling title of all. Here are the Dixie Chicks.
A price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, cause I'm mad as hell. Can't bring myself to do what it is you think I should. I know you said, can't you just get over it? It turned.
The Dixie Chicks from their album Taking the Long Way. The Dixie Chicks are on the cover of Time magazine, the article written by Josh Tieringel, who joins us from L.A. And, Josh, you said they were early adopters back in 2003 with their anti-war comments. Now, with approval ratings for the war at their lowest ebb, will a song like this, do you think, resonate with people who kind of, you know, were pretty quick to dump on the Dixie Chicks 3 years ago?
Well, it hasn't so far, and the largest part of that is that country radio is just not playing it. And I don't mean to besmirch radio, obviously, on a radio program, but country radio in particular is one of the most conservative, and not politically, but you know, from a programming standpoint,
yes,
is one of the most conservative outlets in the United States.
In terms of a tight playlist, and it's very hard to break in.
Very tight playlist, and everything is market tested. In reporting the story, I talked to lots and lots of programmers at stations, and they don't put anything on that hasn't gone through market testing. And there's a technology called the dial, which a lot of these stations use, where listeners come in, they put their hands on a dial, and they turn to the right if they really like something, and turn to the left if they don't. And they're playing just, you know, samples of songs, 20, 30 seconds. And what they tell me is that even now, when they play a Dixie Chicks hit, they're not even testing the new stuff, but when they play a Dixie Chicks hit from the past, something that listeners love, the dial will go almost through the floor. One programmer told me that hits that they would play in the past now rate below Billy Ray Cyrus, which in country is just about as low as you can go. So it's not being played. The single did okay on iTunes for a little while. But, you know, as I say in the story, I think it functions better in some ways as a referendum than as a song, because if you agree with them, you listen to it once and you think, right on, girls, that's great. But you don't necessarily need to hear it again. And if you disagree with them, you're just never going to get through the first bar.
Right. Now, the album was produced by Rick Rubin, who has worked with the Beastie Boys and the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and perhaps most famously, the American recording series with Johnny Cash. So he has come on board with the Dixie Chicks. And they've recently announced summer tour dates. Will they, Josh, be in Texas?
I believe they will be. And you know, we shouldn't paint the whole listening map red or blue. I mean, there are certainly pockets within what we would consider core country music audiences, where they do very well still, and I think their albums will sell well in Dallas, and they'll sell well in Austin.
Yeah.
But outside of major metropolitan areas, at least the stuff that I, you know, that I reported and researched into, there is a tremendous amount of animosity still.
All right. The Dixie Chicks are on the cover of Time magazine. Josh Tieringel wrote the article, joined us from L.A. Josh, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. The program is produced by Allison Lichter and Brian Wise. Our senior producer is Gisele Regatow, and our executive producer is Chris Bannon. I'm John Schaefer. Join us again at this time Monday for another Soundcheck here on New York Public Radio.